Okay, everybody, welcome back to another edition of Dose of Reality Radio with your co-host Brian Stavely and Justin Cook. You're joining us here on a Tuesday night. It's 10 p.m. our time on the East Coast. We do apologize for bouncing around a few different nights. We were doing Sundays, we were doing Mondays. Fact of the matter is, just with the new work schedule and everything, Tuesday is going to be the night that I'm going to have to do the show. So we're going to try and stick to Tuesdays for a while, and if anything changes in a few months, we'll let you know. Justin, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Not bad, man. How's everything going? I got the echo.
There you go. It's all set. Everything's good. Everything's good.
Yeah, same stuff, different day. Pretty much just been, immersing myself in some of the symbolism that happened during the opening ceremony, of the Olympics, of course, the ritual. Besides that, just trying to, trying to see what's what with this Jared Holmes Aurora Batman Dark Rise, whatever the hell it is, Dark Knight Rising or whatever situation. We didn't really get a chance. We had a few more things I think you wanted to get into as far as that goes. So I mean, I don't know, I'll let you start off with that unless you wanted to go somewhere else for you wanted to go to the Olympics first or what?
Yeah, why don't we go to the Olympics first? It's a little fresh, and I just pulled up all those pictures for everybody. Then we'll get back into the shooting, and we would both like to apologize for last week. We did definitely got sidetracked by a caller, and I promise I won't let it happen again like that. We are a little limited with the limited budget that we have, so we don't have certain features like even the mute button. I can't mute callers. All I can do is hang up on people. And, I don't want people to think I'm censoring them, so I'll let them say their word. But last week, the woman with the witchcraft just kept going on and on and on and on. And even one of the times when I had to let her go, I played music in her ear so she knew we were going to break, and she said, "Okay, bye." And then 4 minutes later, she called back. So I just like to apologize for everybody for that. We won't let that happen again. If there's a general consensus within the chat with all of you guys to get somebody off the air, if they're boring the crap out of you or you think they're completely bogus, just let us know and we'll take care of the problem a little quicker. Just like everybody, I'm new with this too, and I try not to censor anybody, but that's probably somebody I should have cut off a little bit earlier. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think that it was, and here's the thing. I mean, I wish no ill will towards the woman or whatever, but first off, we were doing a show on Batman and what happened. People wanted to hear our analysis as well as we wanted to see what the listeners had on it, what they thought. I mean, so it was definitely off topic, and I mean, on the other hand, a lot of the stuff she's saying, it could it be partially right? Yeah, but I think a lot of it is just research that she's done mixed with some hearsay and some stuff she knows from real life. And I don't know, but it just seems like that's all this lady seems to talk about.
Way off topic. She seemed to really
So.
distract us. Particularly, I thought when I started to, when we both did, started to get into a little of the more serious things that the alternative media won't touch, such as the Knights of Malta, the Vatican connections. She seemed like she wanted to blame everything on this guy named John Cappelletti or something. I don't even know who the hell the guy is. Was he a football player or something?
Yeah, he was a football player in the 70s that she dated or whatever, and and I guess supposedly the mother's a witch and illegitimate daughter of Aleister Crowley. I don't know. To me, it's like I'm sure these people are. I'm sure they're rich people. I'm sure they have clout. I'm sure they are. But as far as I looked into them. The only thing I've been able to find on the net about them is stuff that she says, and like you could tell it's her. It's the same exact stuff. So I mean, to be honest, I don't put much stock into everything that she was saying. Did she have some? Some things. Yes, yeah, she backed. She had other people's research, and nothing wrong with that. But but again, it's not like she was telling us anything new to where, like, anything important to where nobody can find out on their own or we haven't talked about or, I don't know. To me, that kind of talk just kind of discredits some of the stuff that we talk about anyway.
Oh,
So
it really does, because a lot of the stuff we talk about is You know, it's very. I'm not saying that there's no such thing as witchcraft. Don't get me wrong. I just.
Oh, of course.
I don't know anything about it. My, you know, we don't research that, and we're here to talk about a big, huge either event or psyop that happened within days, and this woman wanted to totally derail us with witchcraft talk, which had nothing to do with it at all.
Right.
And then actually, guys, and a lot of you guys missed this because you guys obviously weren't there. But the next day in the group where I actually had posted the link to our show, and that's how she found our show. It's a group that I hardly ever use, but you know, I'm gonna post my link there. Shane, you're right. I will be rude next time and just cut people off like that. But she attacked me the next day in the group with like 15 comments. You know what she actually said? She said that me and my co-host, talking about Justin, we were covering up the Aurora shooting, and we are afraid to talk about 9/11. Now, if I haven't heard more of an absurd comment than us being afraid to talk about 9/11, I mean, I don't know what is.
Yeah, no, it's insane. The fact is that you, you know, you eat, breathe, and diet, you know, you eat, breathe, and drink 9/11, and I've obviously done my fair share of research, and we've done 3 shows on it, never mind, you know, some big interviews and you know, and whatnot. I just think, you know, to say that is just ridiculous. She said I looked sinister. So, I mean, I don't know what that means, but like I said, you know, whatever. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but, you know, it was a lady a while back and that was on Facebook and was calling people on my friends list witches and, so, I mean, that's pretty much... the whole thing too is she also will not blame anything on the current Pope or the Vatican or it's more to her it's just the Knights of Malta, when in reality the Knights of Malta is a part of the Jesuit run.
Yeah, that's Vatican. Their military arm.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's their military arm. And she really seemed to want it to deflect attention away from that. She really did.
Yeah, she, before, I mean, in a Facebook thread, she called me a Catholic basher. And I grew up Catholic. I have nothing against your run-of-the-mill Catholic. However, the hierarchy is a bunch of sick freaks. And they, you know, like, as we'll get into a little later in the show, are pretty much behind the New World Order. Don't get me wrong, there is some... you know, Zionist influence as well, but I do believe, like, you know, as Brian's going to get into a little later, the fact that, you know, Rome really never dissolved, it just kind of stayed in the background and really became the Vatican. Yeah, yep. These people are smart. They've ruled for thousands of years now. You know,
they were very smart about it, and we're already on there. I mean, I'll get into it a little bit. You know, a little bit right now. Let me just pull up my little sheet that I have here. I had a couple of notes, if I can find them. Here we go right here. Guys, the Vatican, okay? The Roman Empire, they never fell, okay? All they did is basically take every one of their people in power, change their name, and put them in hiding in the Catholic Church. Like, the Roman Empire is now the Roman Church. Vatican City is now a landlocked state within Rome, within Italy, and it's governed by the Bishop of Rome, who's called the Pope. Here's a few, for example. A Roman Empire, okay, renamed the Roman Catholic Church. Curia, the legal body of senators. They changed their name to Curia, the legal body of cardinals. The Roman Emperor himself was renamed the Roman Pope. The civil government matters of state and extraordinary affairs got renamed to matters of civil state governments. Religious orders matters. Church ecclesiastical matters. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Here's a few more key ones. The Roman College of Senators just got renamed the College of Senators. The magistrate of the College of Senators was renamed the Dean of College of Cardinals. It goes on and on. The Department of Roman Senatorial Curia renamed congregations. You've heard these words. Political advisor was renamed to the Pronuncio, which is the highest civil ambassador sent to other governments, like Washington, D.C., the U.K., okay? These are the people that are really calling the shots, and they never fell. They, I don't know if they were, you know, maybe physically defeated and retreated and then decided to do this, but I think that they just were smart about it. They knew they had a target on their back, and they went and they hid in religion. And if you think about it, and I'm not here to say bash religion at all, not at all. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to tell you that a lot of the Roman Empire used religion to hide their power, and they went and hid in religion, and through propaganda, and through people's religious beliefs, they were able to control the 99% of the world. And that control still goes on till today. Right, Justin? Justin, you there? Justin, hold on, guys. I think I lost my co-host for a second. Justin, you still there? Oh, guys, I'll continue down the list while we try and get back in touch with Justin. There's more, and there's important ones. See, I lived near Boston, guys, and where I live, there were two... You stepped away for a minute, Justin?
Yeah, I had to let my cat in real quick.
I was trying to talk to you. It's all right. Let me go on for another minute, and then I'm going to call on you.
Okay, cool.
Right around where I live, we had a big scandal. And when I say a scandal, I mean a scandal. There were over 250 Catholic priests that were accused of molesting boys, okay? I know some of these kids, personally. Not close friends of mine. Oh, but cousins of friends of mine, okay? I live in Lowell. Boston's about 25 miles from here. And pretty much all of this went down in between here and, you know, spread out a little bit more or whatever. The Roman governors, for instance, okay? Now, we're talking about the Roman Empire, the governors of Rome, right? You know what they got renamed? Archbishops. The Roman senator with no territory got renamed the bishop. A Roman province was renamed an archdiocese. So what does that tell you when there's an archdiocese sitting in Boston? I mean, what does it tell you? I mean, it makes me think, like you know, they have their Roman province, set, almost like us having a military base in somebody's country. Yeah, what's it make you think?
Yeah, well exactly. There's an archdiocese in every state in the country. There's one in every single one. And they are, you know, if you look at them for the most part, you know, yes, they're part of the same network. You know, it's the same people. These and once again, even though Catholicism frowns on Freemasonry, the Knights of Columbus is Catholic Freemasonry, and then you get a bigger, you know, Knights of Malta and even the Templars and everything, Opus Dei, you know, it's all attached to this stuff.
I think we touch on this stuff a little bit, and some of our listeners don't really know yet, and even a few months ago, I didn't really know too much about this stuff, and I'm starting to realize how important it is. But why don't you get a little bit into the history of the Knights of Malta and how they've totally infiltrated our government and pretty much every key agency?
Well, yeah, I mean, as far as it goes, I mean, you look at the military. You know, you look at the military. You look at people like General Petraeus. You look at, you know, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. In fact, let me pull this link up for a second. You know, and here's the thing, what people don't understand either is that you got the Supreme Court, where six out of nine of them are Catholics. And I mean, it's not your run-of-the-mill Catholic either. Like, you know, people that I grew up with, I grew up Catholic. You know, but the whole thing, you know, once you're up there, it's just like anything else. You're a Freemason, but they're Knights of Columbus or Knights of Malta. So six out of nine of them are that. And then the other three are you know, are Jewish. So, I mean, you know, it just goes to show. And I think that's kind of how the NWO is for the most part. You know, the hierarchy is the Jesuits in the Vatican, Knights of Malta, ESMOM, etc. And then, of course, you have the Jewish B'nai B'rith, Freemasons, and everything else, and Rothschilds and Sephardic families that are involved as well. The whole thing about it, though, is they have this red mass every year too to praying to Saint Thomas More, and Saint Thomas More was a guy that burnt people at the stake. He burned at least 10 people at the stake, including the guy who translated helped translate the Bible to English. It's totally insane. You have all these people that attend this from George Bush, this Red Mass for St. Thomas More, Laura Bush, Peter Pace, who's the joint chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Alberto Gonzalez, the Attorney General. Condoleezza Rice, John Roberts, the guy who just recently, made that big decision. I believe it was Arizona decision or something. I forget what it was, but Anthony Kennedy, Antonin Scalia, Stephen Breyer, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito. All these, they're all Jesuit schooled. And they're all, every one of these guys is part of this, this whole, network here. And that's the thing is, and also too, when it comes down to it, what it is right now is they're on another crusade for the most part. And that's the whole thing of what they're doing in the Middle East and whatnot. It's a modern day crusade. And that's why you see with Blackwater and companies like that, where you have the members like, I believe Eric Prince is his name, actually compared it to the Crusades. It's really insane though when you go down to it. Jeb, hold on, I'm trying to get to this piece of information. We're talking about the whole military hierarchy, and that's what they are. That they're the military arm. Here it is. Jeb Bush received an award from the Knights of Malta in Florida, finally on the occasion of the 7th Annual Order of Malta. Regardless, they gave Jeb Bush an award for the Ethic of Life Award for outstanding service towards the defense of life and human dignity of the unborn. And then, of course, you have people like Terry Schiavo. Which is the total, but here's what a direct quote from Bush. I needed someone to lead the program, so guess who I turned to? The Knights. I found Towie. Jim Towie is the director of the White House Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives. He's with me. You know what his job is? His job is to help the faith community in the way all faiths, Christian, Jew, or Muslim, all faiths understand what is possible. Now, his job is also to make sure the federal government is a hospitable place for faith programs to work with. Let's be frank about it. Many faith-based programs don't want to interface with government. You know why? They're afraid of losing the ability to practice their faith. How can you be a faith, based program if you're not allowed to practice your faith? Towie's job, applause, so Towie has got a big job, is to change a culture, a suspicious culture. We're making progress. A suspicious culture in Washington, a suspicious culture in the grassroots. Here's Towie's story. He goes to eat Mother Teresa for the first time. I'm gonna skip past that part. But here's the whole thing. Bush also said, "I also preach the Knights of Columbus and the federal judiciary. I have responsibility as president to make sure the federal judicial system runs well. I have nominated superb men and women for the federal branches who will strictly and fully interpret the law, not legislate from the bench." And these are all, Knights of Columbus and everything else. And, of course, we know the Bushes are big Knights of Malta as well. When you come down to it, though, and this guy that they're representing, and also, too, if you look at the Thomas More symbol, it's a pyramid with a cross on the top. If that doesn't tell you anything, as far as we know its symbolism, I should try to download a link and throw it up. But they have this mass once a year, though. And St. Thomas More is the patron saint of politicians. Here's a guy that, was behind the Inquisition and everything else. and St. Ives is the patron saints of the legal profession. They all wear red, and have all these big, you know, big wigs meet up and pretty much talk about, give praise to this St. Thomas More.
Can I cut in for 1 second?
Yes.
1 second,
yes,
without you losing your thought? Just because we have I think it's a new chat or somebody that hasn't been here before. And excuse me if I pronounce your name wrong, but it looks like Sir Jarius. He wrote, "We are aware of the military-industrial complex. Little do we know about the Hollywood media propaganda complex." Well, that's not true at all, Sir Jarius. If you listen to us just a couple of shows, we do call out all these people. And I noticed that you wrote, like, you know, Charlie Sheen and Alex Jones. And
we
call out those people almost on a weekly basis. And we know that the media propaganda complex is basically, I mean, it's hand in hand with the government, with NASA, and most of the events that we see are total media. So we're totally on board with that. You don't have to worry about that with us. I just wanted to make that clear to you.
Yeah, I know us, sweet from my Facebook page. No, I believe they're aware, definitely. But yeah, no, you're 100% right. And if you get to the media, I mean, you see the same thing there as well. You see,
that's what they protect. That's what they protect more than anything. They don't care if you blame the government. Just don't blame the media, because they can't tell you any more stories.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, you have an example of Chris Matthews, you know, who's a Jesuit school, arguing with Pat Buchanan, and that's what they do. You know, it's all about the Hegelian dialect, of course, and they push it on both sides. And they pretend that they're not behind it all, you know. It's obvious, you know. We've talked about the controlled opposition as far as, you know, Ron Paul, Bush, and all that. And I mean, not Bush, Ron Paul, Alex Jones, and all. I just compared Bush to Jones. It's definitely apparent. You know, we're just trying to let people know how deep this goes. You know, as far as, you know, the masses that these people are attending. And you know, just for example, like, you know, most people don't realize, everyone knows about Moloch from Bohemian Grove, but they don't know about the Catholic saint that is worshipped the next morning after this, you know. So I mean, it's and yes, the whole thing of Catholicism is really just based on, you know, it's based on the Kabbalah and Freemasonry and Egyptian, you know, the mystery schools just got, you know, with thinly guys with a little bit of Christianity, and that's how they've packaged it and sold it to everybody. You know, I mean, it's crazy. I grew up, you know, in the Catholic Church,
to mention one more thing that I think is something that it doesn't maybe get overlooked, but it doesn't get talked about enough. These same people, okay, whether it be Catholics, whether it be Jewish, I'm not racist or religious against anybody, but it does seem to go back to the Vatican or whatever. Whoever is in charge of everything that's been going on for the last, you know, however many thousands of years, they've completely rewritten history. They've set up our school systems. They filled it with a bunch of lies. And if you saw the shit that our kids read today, I mean, we could just go down a list, okay? I mean, you could go from 9/11 to 1993 to the moon landings to the Vietnam War. You could even go all the way back to Christopher Columbus discovering America, which is complete bullshit. He was sent over here by the Catholic Church, and he slaughtered 3 million Indians. So how is that discovering America other than conquering a land? We come up with all these little cliches instead of saying we're going to conquer your land, like we're going to bring you democracy, we're going to free those people. We're going to discover that land. No, we're going to go there, we're going to kill you, and we're going to take your shit. And I'm sorry for swearing, but that's how I feel right now. And people buy it. And people buy it, dude.
I apologize. Yeah, you know, the whole thing is really just a big shell game, and the people have fallen for it. And, you know, the sad thing about it, though, is when you see, you know, I don't know, I just get upset first by the people that don't get it at all, and then I get upset by the people that get it but refuse to look into the deeper parts of it and refuse to think that somebody out there telling them a little bit of truth is 100%, you know, going to always tell them the truth. You know, anyone out there that's a multimillionaire or whatever, is not doing it for your best interest. They obviously have an agenda. They have backers. They have people telling them what they can and can't say.
Oh, and the people that started this, that were sitting at the top, you know how smart they were? They just told people that they were prophets of God. So everybody believed them. Oh, these guys are prophets of God. We better listen to what they say. It sounds simple, but they did.
Oh, of course. Of course. You know, the whole thing about it is, you know, it doesn't take much for them to, you know, these people are master magicians. That's one thing about them. And obviously it doesn't take much to fool people with magic and you know, this energy vampire stuff. You know, these are the secrets that they've held. And the shady stuff that most of us, you know, wouldn't even want to delve into, but that's how deep it is. That's how occult this stuff is, and that's, you know, it's really just insane. You know, the techniques they've used over the centuries. Nowadays they don't even have to use violence though, which is the crazy part. You know, they get people to do their work for them, which is another thing I want to bring up. Last week we were talking about, you know, the whole thing as far as the UN gun ban thing was going. And I believe 2 weeks ago I called it out. You know, Brian was with me on this as well, as far as saying that, you know, we thought the whole thing was more fear-mongering. And then we had the Aurora shooting, and you know, or whatever event. And I still kind of was, I still said I still don't see it taking place, although I wouldn't be surprised now. Well, it didn't happen, guys. You know, like I said last week, they needed 2/3 of the Senate vote. And this has nothing to do with your government being there for you. This has something to do with the fact that they have to pretend that they're you know, still, you know what I mean? The Republicans have to pretend that they're still out for the Republicans' gun rights. You know, the Democrats still have to pretend that they're, you know. So, I mean, the main fact of the matter is they want us to have guns for a few more years. They want people to kill each other. You know, they don't need to come and slaughter you, you know, Hitler style or whoever, you know, Stalin style. They don't need to, because people are killing each other, and you have slow kill eugenics agenda set up so perfectly that, you know, people are defending poisons. You know, it's insane when you look at people, you know, and you tell them that aspartame is poison or fluoride is poison. And you even show them facts, and they just don't care. And I mean, you know, these, of course, most of the people that are, you know, quote, awake understand that by now. But, you know, it's just even, you know, just all these subjects, all these things, you know, they're attacking our water, air, and food. And you know, it's just, you know, what can we do, you know, besides, you know, I don't know, going in and getting out of the system is really the only way I see right now. Until maybe eventually there'll be a couple generals that are not part of this network, which I doubt by now. I think they have it pretty well sewn up. You know, that would you know, actually do a coup or speak out. But I don't know. I think it's pretty much you know, a done battle, you know, because people are not waking up.
Do you think there's ever a chance that, like, it could ever get to the point where people are making citizens arrests?
Probably not, because
you could never get enough people awake, right?
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, Tom, is maybe on a couple bankers or something like that, you may even have cops and oath keepers or whatever doing it, but it's just going to be scapegoats. We're never going to get the real perpetrators. We're never going to, you know, it's going to be a few greedy people, you know, like the Martha Stewarts or the, you know, Bernie Madoffs or, you know, whoever, you know, they're going to throw someone under the bus, and who knows, maybe they don't even go to jail, but, you know, I don't know about citizens arrest, but they may even pretend that the cops are going to stand up for the people or something. I'm not sure which way they're going to go with it, but I do see a lot of this disinformation out there saying that 80% of the you know, the police force is not happy. You know, it's all bullshit. The If you're a cop now, you're a drone. If you're in the military now, most likely you're a drone. You know, there's really, I don't know. I don't see them refusing orders. I really don't.
I don't know if you guys have ever noticed, but some of you guys might think, you know, maybe, you know, some of the things we're saying about the Vatican or whatever are kind of a stretch. It's definitely, I don't have it proven. It's just that's my working theory right now, because everything seems to be dying. If you guys notice, all the people in alternative media that are supposed to be telling you the truth, they whitewash anything that has to do with the Vatican. And it's not just Alex Jones. It's all of them. You never hear the Vatican's name dragged through the mud.
Oh, yeah. Even like the Jeff Rentses, the Mike Riveros.
Yep.
You know, and there's so many of these people, you know, Zionists did it, Zionists did that. And don't get me wrong, the Zionists are no picnic either. But I just don't get the feeling that they're sitting behind making all the major decisions. They have a stake in it, and that's the thing. They have definitely made some deals, and they're definitely playing a part in it. But you know, the main thing I believe, you know, I can say all roads lead to Rome. That's pretty much how I figure it.
Yeah, they always have. They always have. They never gave up their control, you know?
Nope. Totally.
Never at all. And the other thing people don't realize, I know I mentioned it briefly, but I want to mention it again. These same people set up our school systems. They set up our textbooks. You think what you're reading in our textbooks are going to say anything bad about them? No, it's going to have the total opposite spin. You know how, like, now when we watch news, we know it's total bullshit, and we try and pick it apart and see what the real facts are? That's what we should have been doing with our textbooks, because they were even worse. But we were young kids. We were young kids, how old we know, of course. But they were even worse than what the mainstream news is now.
Hey, Brian, go closer to your server. You're cutting out a little.
All right, talk for a second. I'm gonna mute. I'll be right there. Take the mic. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. No. You're 100% right about it. You know, our schools are indoctrination centers. You know, and if it's not one thing, it's another. I mean, I believe just yesterday we were talking about, you know, as far as like the movies and everything, and all the summer movies that come out. You know, never mind what happened with Dark Knight, but you got, you know, all these other movies like Prometheus and, you know, all it's really just a bunch of, you know, transhumanist pre-programming and seeing more and more of it and a lot more.
The video games.
You know what the video games are for? The video games, in my opinion, for one, is to desensitize people. Secondly, it's to make these people, you know, want to be the drone pilots and everything. They could sit, you know, eventually you're going to see machines are going to war and killing people. You know, it's going to be drone tanks and drone, you know, everything else. And then, you know, maybe those you're going to be seeing people getting medals from sitting in Colorado launching missiles over into you know, or launching drone strikes over in Syria or somewhere, you know, and that's pretty much where we're getting, and that's where they're programming the next generation for. And then the rest of the generation is buying into the bullshit green agenda, buying into the, you know, and don't get me wrong, as far as when I say green agenda, I don't mean the, you know, yes, there is good renewable, sustainable energy and everything that we should be using. But, you know, I'm really not for nuclear. I'm not for coal. I'm not for and I'm definitely not for gasoline. The energy cartels. I'd like to see some Tesla energy and water and, you know, but the main thing is, though, you know, the green movement is just a totally it's really just a fake movement. You know, like most environmental movements usually are, you know.
It really is. It really is. You know, I think I recommended this last week, and one just in case I didn't, one of our group members, Simone, recommended this movie, Propaganda, and I started watching it for a few minutes, and I not only could I not stop, I watched it about 5 times, showed it to a few friends, and I really I recommend it to anybody. I'll put the link up soon. or if you just go to YouTube and type the word propaganda, you'll see it. It's like an hour and a half long. It was originally a Korean documentary, but it's been dubbed over in English, and it really makes some great points, just about how the world views the United States. And I think it's something that everybody needs to see, because all the bull crap we hear about these people having chemical weapons and this and that, we're the ones that have been manufacturing it. Companies like DuPont and other people spraying populations. We're the ones that have been invading all these countries. And all these countries that we've tried to overthrow, 37 countries, 50 total we invaded in the last 60 years. 37 countries that we overthrew, not a single one is a so-called democracy right now. What does that tell you? I mean, come on.
Yep, exactly. You know, and that's the thing. What they do is they go into these countries, and they, you know, you get one side. They, you know, they're just like everything. Every major war, they do it in these small ones too. They, you know, they back both sides. You know, and they set up both sides. You might have, you know, one group over there. Souping up one side, selling, you know, and that's the whole, another false paradigm. And I think people give too much credence to this. They really believe in, like, that the United States and China and Russia are enemies. And it's total bullshit. It's just like the Cold War was bullshit. And that's what they do. You know, one side will you know, the Russians or the Chinese will fund the, you know, the rebels, and will fund the government, or vice versa. You know, and it's so funny, because the same guys they're saying are Al-Qaeda, you know, which Al-Qaeda doesn't even exist. But, you know, that's the people that are you know, they're the ones that are, you know, the ones benefiting from Syria, you know, the ones that are supposedly, you know, to me, it really doesn't make sense with the whole thing. But all these movements, you know, from the Muslim Brotherhood to, you know, to all these other things, a lot of them are just either Mossad inventions, or they're just, you know, like Hamas as well, and, you know, and a lot of these other ones too. It's they really are just co-opted groups, just made to, you know, to demonize.
Well, we got two choices here. We got two big topics that we kind of want to get into. We want to get into the Batman thing, and we want to get into the Olympic open ceremonies real quick. We're going to take a quick break. What do you want to come back with first, Justin?
I don't know. We'll figure that out on the break. We'll be back in a minute, though, with something good, though.
All right, guys, we're going to take a couple things. We're going to take a quick 4 or 5 minute break. Don't go anywhere. You've been listening to Dose of Reality with Brian Snavely and Justin Cook, and we will be right back. Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Dose of Reality Radio. I'm your host, Brian Stavely, along with my co-host, Justin Cook. As you just heard, that was the classic Batman theme song. That's at least... I know there's been many, many different versions of Batman. There was even a TV show before that, the black and white one. But that was the one I grew up with. How about you, Justin?
Yeah, I grew up with the old school one, and then also with the what was his name?
Adam West, Keaton. And Burt Reynolds were the TV show. Keaton was the one in the movies that came out shortly after.
Yep, that was the I don't know, that was the last time I could say I really enjoyed a Batman.
I tell you what, like, the Christian Bale ones are really good. I don't know if you've seen Batman Begins or Batman Returns.
I haven't, to be honest. I've heard they're good. I've also heard that they're... Well, you know what? I did see the first one. I saw the part where they had the prisoners on one boat, and they had the Joker on the other boat, and they were just... You know, they had a bomb on each one or something. Yeah, I did see that. Yep.
Yeah, really,
you know,
good
what?
Movie.
It makes you wonder, too. And, you know, you have these directors out there. This one's Christopher Nolan, I believe, is the director of this. You know, and it's... It just makes you wonder, you know, as far as... You know, what is going on is, you know, obviously, I mean, we all know that something is amiss with the whole Batman issue. And for a guy like that to, you know, to be putting some of the stuff, you know, in the movie as far as, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's a lot of fear porn, though, as well, too. So, I mean, I think, you know, it's definitely some good movies. But I thought Heath Ledger came off this. I got the echo on. Okay.
Oh, you do? I'm sorry.
Came off in the second one as a little condescending, too. And
there you go. You should be good. A little bit
out of touch there. I don't know. But who knows? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but. You know, personally, I don't know. I think that it, obviously this whole thing was set up. I don't know. What do you want to get into as far as the Batman? Have you seen anything that suggests definite fakery
I'll be honest. I haven't seen anything that would make me say, hey, that's 100% fake. And I don't want to put, you know, the label 100% fake unless I'm sure. Excuse me, but. Man, after watching some of those pathetic interviews,
I know, I agree.
They really do look like they're acting, and I have a few of them queued up tonight. I'm gonna play two of them. They're rather short. One's only 4 minutes. One's only like 2 minutes. And the one that's 2 minutes. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I say, you know what actually makes sense too is, I mean, you know, and just like 9/11, they threw in another track for the people that are awake. They, you know, what I mean by track is, you know, you have the first track, which is, you know, the official story. The second track is like the thermite story. Well, they threw in the everyone's seeing the second gunman as the thermite story, you know, and not to say that it was, you know, I'm still in the air between total fakery and or the fact that it wasn't this kid and he was just sitting outside in a car drugged up getting, you know, and they sent in a couple professional hitmen. Don't get me wrong. I'm like 50-50 on it right now. But you know, and maybe inflated the body count as well too. I don't know, but I do know that the whole thing was definitely set up as far as, you know, the movie preview that they played, as far as, you know, just, you know, everything that we've seen. And I think that they're setting up the alternative media again, you know, to go on this wild goose chase after the second gunman when, you know, and that's the thing. They want you to go and chase after these Alex Jones stories. Then you have the, which I think is more disinfo, is this other stuff coming out about Robert Holmes, the father, being this DARPA guy or whatever else, you know, and he was going to testify or something about something against the government. To me, it just seems like more of these same traps that they would, you know, kind of try to guide you into. What do you think? Brian, you there? I think you're
muted,
buddy.
I'm sorry, I was muted, buddy. Yeah, I think you're right on. What I'm gonna do, guys, real quick is I'm gonna play one of the witnesses and then we'll save another one for a little bit after, so it's not just 10 minutes of you listening to the blab. But this first woman, right? It's a 4 minute interview. And she's going to actually tell you that she had the gun almost right at her face and that she was so close that the bullets, when they were shot, they actually singed her forehead. Well, you're looking at the video and she's got her hair done like up like an idiot and she doesn't even have a red mark on her forehead. Never mind the fact that her acting is horrible. This does not sound like somebody that just had a gun blasted next to the head and witnessed a massacre of people. It's like the calmest interview you've ever heard. And I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna play that interview for you guys right now. I want you guys to hear this interview. And I'm also gonna throw the link in the chat so you can see her facial expressions. And you guys won't be too out of sync. So as soon as you're done, just tune back.
We're live now.
We'll wait for you for a second. I'm going to try and sync it up. Here's the clip, guys. Yeah, play that clip if you want, or if you'd rather just listen to the audio that we have going, just listen right here.
With some of the eyewitnesses of the shooting last night in that movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, that left 12 dead, 59 wounded. Jennifer Seeger came face to face with the shooter. Jennifer, how are you right now? Hanging in, I hope.
Oh, I hope you're hanging in, Jen.
Yeah, I'm trying as best. I mean, it's just an exhausting process, but I mean, I'm just glad I'm alive and I'm here to talk to you guys.
You were so close. Take us back to that moment when the shots rang out. That moment.
Yeah, I was sitting in the second row up from the screen, and I was the very first person on the right-hand side, and he came in, and he was literally coming through an exit door on the right-hand side, and he was probably maybe 4 or 5 feet away from me. I was the first person he would have seen when he came in the door. And at first, we all thought, you know, that it was just part of the show, that he was just an actor or some sort, just adding props or, you know, some kind of pizzazz to make the show really cool for its premiere. And when he took this can full of gas, of like tear gas or something, and he took off the tab and he threw it in the crowd, and it exploded and all this gas went everywhere. Everybody didn't think anything of it. They thought that was just a prop. And then all of a sudden he takes his gun, and it was a rifle, and he shot it in the air. And that's when everybody knew that it was real, and that there was mass chaos everywhere. He was screaming and crying, there's a gun. And then after that point, he literally went from here to here with his gun, and he pointed it right in my face. At that point, I just didn't know what to do. You know, I just panicked, and I knew I literally had like a 5 second window to either move or do something or get shot. So. Well, I just, you know, my whole life just flashed before me, and I just dived forward into the ground in the aisle, and I dug myself and tucked myself underneath the chair for safety, and I told everybody to just lay there and don't move until he walks up the stairs, and then we're going to try to crawl as fast as we can out of the aisle. And behind me, there was people that were shot. You know, he didn't shoot me, but he shot people behind me, and I could feel the bullets coming, rushing towards my head, and they were still fresh, and they were singeing my forehead, and... It was just a crazy experience, and all you hear is women and children screaming in the background. He was going up the stairs, and we were just trying to go on the opposite side of him. He was on the left side of the theater, and we were trying to go into the right side. And at that point, everybody in my aisle had gotten out, and they tried to go to the exit door, but they, at that point, started running back into the building, and I didn't understand why. And then they were all screaming, go back, you know, he's shooting everybody that's trying to exit the door, and he was killing people that were, or shooting people that were trying to exit the door into the theater. And so everybody, I told everybody to just play dead and just lay still so that he wouldn't know the difference. And we all just laid there for a while, and he went up and down and just continued to let off shots and shooting people, like anybody that tried to get away, stand up, get into the aisle, lay down, he was shooting at. And I you know, I was very fortunate to be one of those people that got their lives out of it at the end, and I really feel bad for those people that lost their family, and my heart goes out to them. You know, I at one point I don't know how I got out of there, but I nearly collapsed. I was having a panic attack. I couldn't breathe from the tear gas. My eyes were watering, and I was about ready to give up. And you know, I realized that there were people that needed help to get out, and so I just pulled myself together. And I realized that there were dead bodies in the stairs. I mean, there was a 14-year-old girl who was just laying there lifeless in the stairs, and there's bodies laying over the chairs, and there's just so many bodies. I didn't know if they were dead or alive, but they're all definitely hurt. And I, on my way out, was bear crawling my way to the exit, and there was a gentleman who was probably, I don't know, 18 years old or so. He had a bullet wound in his back, and I had previous EMT training, and so it just kind of kicked in instinctively for me to check his pulse and see where his levels were at and his vitals and stuff. And so I went and checked him, and he was really, really critical. His heart rate was really low. He was losing a lot of blood, and so I said, I got to get him out of here. And I put my arms underneath him, and I was trying to pull him out with me, and then everybody was like, no, let him go, because the gunman's coming back, and he's going to shoot you. So I got scared, and I dropped him, and I walked out.
Jennifer.
And, I felt so bad, because I would literally take a bullet for anybody.
And Jennifer, hearing that story told, and you told it earlier on Good Morning America this morning, the act of heroism and courage that you show there, even in these most chaotic moments, we cannot thank you enough, both for your service in that movie theater and for joining us today. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
No problem. And it's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you.
So that was one of our so-called credible witnesses from the day. What do you guys make of that? Justin, your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, she sounded a little too, a little too, like, I don't know, like she was reading off a script, kind of. I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah, and I don't know if, for those of you guys that didn't watch the video, if you watch when she talks about how the bullet singed her forehead. Now, if a bullet singes your forehead, I'm not a doctor. I don't know if it's going to last a month, a day, 5 weeks. You would think the next day you'd have a pretty good size cut or a red mark on your forehead, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would think so.
I would think so too. It just seems like they're all scripted to me. The more and more and more you look at it, it just seems like it's all scripted. I just honestly, I don't see the need to gun down, you know, to start shooting at 70 people in the movie theater when they could just say that they did. There are crazy people in the world. Don't get me wrong. This event absolutely could have happened.
And I'm not there's mind control out there. But you know, this is something. As far as everything that we've seen with different events and everything, I think that, you know, to not look into it would be doing a disservice. I really think that it's something.
This is kids playing though. I mean, come on. We've looked at things like 9/11 and 7/7 and the Giffords thing, and the Breivik thing. We found all these things to be fake media events. What's to make us think that some shooting of 70 people in a movie theater isn't another one? You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that it is, but I'm just saying you have to understand why I'm leading down that road. I'm going to investigate all roads, believe me. I'll investigate the false flag road. I'll even investigate the official story. But I know where it's going to end up. It's going to end up being a bunch of bullcrap. One of our good friends, Chris Kendall, he's been on the show a few times. He's done a lot of research with, like, the Social Security Death Index with 9/11 and stuff. And he took all these victims' names and he put them in Facebook. And nowadays, everybody has Facebook. I mentioned this last week. But nowadays, come on. Even everybody in the chat, maybe one or two of you doesn't have Facebook, but 9 out of 10 people have Facebook. He took all these people's names and entered them in Facebook, and only one person came back. So I tried it myself. I took like 6 or 7 names, and only one person came back. And that's not solid proof of anything. But it gives you kind of an idea that maybe these weren't real people.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing, too, is you know, it just makes you even wonder about Holmes. Because, I mean, you know, look at, you know, the picture I just posted on the, you know, in the chat. It's kind of just like the thing they did with Jared Loughner. Remember, you know, they metamorphed his face at first with Glenn Beck for some reason. They morphed his face with Glenn Beck. And you see another picture of him, and it looks like a totally different kid. And then you see a court drawings of Loughner a week later, and he was totally bald in the picture that everybody remembers, the menacing-looking picture. And then the one in court has him have hair, like 4 inches of hair or like 3 inches of hair. And it was like so much hair that it was like folding, you know, that it was like able to part, you know. And it's like how my hair grows quick, but I don't know. That's pretty quick in my opinion.
And then the other thing, guys, I wanted to bring it up, and I didn't have time to cut all the audio and have it all queued up. But I probably listened to about 10 so-called witnesses, and 3 or 4 of them said the exact same thing. The same thing that we heard on 9/11 and some of these other events, it was all just like a movie. It was all just like a movie. Right now, I'm gonna actually play one of my favorite clips. Not to jump off topic, we're going to get right back to the Colorado thing. But just to make my point, if you guys have all seen the so-called fake firefighter video with the black man in the firefighter suit, and he's all clean, but he said he's been digging in the rubble all day. It's complete bogus. Well, at the end of the clip, where do you hear what the news anchor says? I'm going to play it right now. Just listen to what the news anchor says after they try and hype it up, make it sound like Vietnam and the worst thing you've ever seen. Listen closely.
So far, all he wants to do is save somebody, but he hasn't run across any bodies yet. Just debris and the fire still burning. He looked completely exhausted. But the way he's just matter-of-factly said, I'm just going to rest for a few minutes and then I'm going to go back in. And this is my job. It's just incredible.
You breathe heavily when you hear those things.
Vietnam, war zone, surreal.